Well, my name, if you want to pronounce it a little better, is Buczak, but it's kind of difficult. So I will be, everybody has a problem. So I am talking about the improved sensitivity, specificity, and timeliness of syndromic surveillance systems. And the outline of the talk is as follows. I will start by a motivation for our work. Then I will talk about the statistical classical disease outbreak detection methods. This will be very short. And most of my talk will be spent on the novel machine learning techniques that we are developing right now. And I will talk a little bit about the data, results, conclusions, and I will finish by some future directions. So what is the motivation? Early and reliable disease detection is a critical challenge. And most of the existing methods, what they do right now, they look at the data in a univariate fashion. It means that they look at the data one time series at the time, and they detect alerts. And once the data is combined from those different data streams, we have a lot of alerts, much more than we want to have. So our goal is to develop a multivariate technique, and this, for this technique, to look at abnormal relationships between the time series. And this should lead to a reduction of false alarms. To outbreak detection, disease outbreak detection, or actually any others, there are two types of approaches. These are two broad categories. One of them is anomaly detection, and the other one is specific disease detection. In anomaly detection, the detectors are developed to flag any disease, any behavior which is anomalous. It means they can detect anthrax and influenza and pestis. One big model should be able to detect all those outbreaks. And the most widely known methods for that are the C1, C2, C3, exponential weighted moving average. There are also some methods which are a little less known, such as clustering techniques, super vector machines, or, for example, neural networks. The second big category is the specific disease outbreak detection. And in this case, the detectors are geared towards a specific disease. So there will be one detector for anthrax, another one for influenza, a third one for pestis, and so on. So there is a separate model for each disease, unless, of course, those diseases are similar, then they can share a model. And usually, an in-depth knowledge about the disease manifestation is used to develop such a method. And here, the methods of choice are Bayesian belief networks and also Markov decision processes. The rest of this talk will concentrate only on the anomaly detection methods. So this is just a very quick overview of the statistical methods. Probably the three most widely known techniques are C2, C3, and exponential weighted moving average. And So both C2 and C3, what they do is they use a 7-day baseline. So basically a baseline like this. Oh, and this mouse doesn't move, okay. They use also a 2-day guard band. And then some kind of statistic is computed. And in the statistic, the mean and the standard deviation are computed based on those 7 days. And then if in C2, if the statistic exceeds a threshold, there is an alert, and I will show you an example on the next slide. In C3, if the sum of statistics here for 3 days exceeds a threshold or any one of them, there is an alert. And I have an example too. So here what you have is the blue curve are the rash visit counts. The magenta is the expected value, so based on your 7-day mean. then here we have the value of the test statistics. Exceeds the threshold, we have an alert. And you see the alerts. So most of the peaks it alerts, for example, doesn't alert here on those two peaks. This is the same data, but C3, we have more alerts, as you see, and it detects this one peak as well. Exponential weighted moving average, this is a technique in which the weight is not the same for all the days, but the most weight is given on a recent day, and this is an equation for it. It's pretty simple. There is a weight, which is omega. This is a value for a given day, 1 minus omega, and the EWMA for the previous day. Usually, it uses a much longer baseline, 28 days, also two-day guard band. And in the test statistic, the mean and the standard deviation are based on those 8 days. If it exceeds the threshold, there is an alert. And this is, for example, for the same data, a result. You see that the mean is much more it is much more smooth because it's computed for 28 days. There are less alerts, but it alerts here on those 2 days. Okay, so now let's move to the technique that we are working on. And this is a machine learning technique. Machine learning, basically, this is a set of algorithms, and probably there are hundreds of them. And what they do, they learn from data. They are given a data set, they adjust some parameters, like gradient descent or some other methods, and they learn the model from data. The particular technique we are using are support vector machines, and I will show you on the next slide, explain to you a little bit what they do. But our approach, since this is anomaly detection, we learn the model of what is normal, and then we detect the anomaly based on the difference between from the regular activity. So we need only normal behavior data. It flags any anomalous behavior, meaning that, for example, it should be able to detect new pathogens should the terrorists come with some new ones, and if the counts are elevated. And there is no need for separate models for each disease. Okay, so now what are those support vector machines? They are very powerful classifiers, probably the most powerful classifiers that exist right now. They are based on the statistical learning theory. And what I have for you here is a simple two-dimensional example, just to illustrate how they work. So we have those green points and the blue points. These are two classes. You could think about them as normal or anomalous or normal in a certain disease. And we need to find the boundary between those classes. So basically, this is a line. And the question is this the best boundary? It's pretty good because it classifies the classes without misclassifying anything, but is this any better, or maybe is this better? You know, each one looks almost as good. So what support vector machines do, they find this best separating hyperplane, which is just a line, a straight line in two dimensions, in terms of the largest margin, meaning that the distance from this hyperplane to the closest elements of each class is maximized. Well, this works all well. The data I have shown you was linearly separable. In most of the cases, however, in the real world, what we get is a problem like that. And there is no line which will solve the problem. Yes, they are not linearly separable. And this is actually where the power of support vector machines shows. Because you can use the so-called inner product kernels, which map from in this case, two-dimensional space to a much higher dimensional space, could be 3, 5, 10. And in this higher dimensional space, the data becomes linearly separable. So you can really solve this quadratic programming problem and really find the hyperplane. But I told you before that one of the advantages of the method is that it doesn't need any data describing the outbreaks. And here I am showing you green points and blue points. So it looks like I need that data. Well, there is an extension to the support vector machine, which is called one-class support vector machine, invented by Skolkov. And actually, what it does is that instead of finding a hyperplane, it finds a hypersphere. Hypersphere is just a sphere in n dimensions. And like this, you can really use only one class of data. So this slide shows some details of our approach. We have the data coming here. This is the essence data, and I will explain you on one of the next slides why we have 321 data streams. We perform the EWMA smoothing. We compute descriptors. The descriptors are those statistics for EWMA. So for each data stream, there is one descriptor. And then we have an SVM module. In this SVM module, we have several SVMs. At this point, since this is a work in progress, we have only the GI and the fever one. GI has around 200 inputs. Related to GI, fever has around 250. Each of those SVM produces a decision. A decision is it is zero, meaning normal, or it is one, meaning anomalous. And so those decisions from the different SVMs, they are combined together by decision fusion. Our decision fusion at this point is extremely simple. It is a logical OR. When you know more of those SVMs will be developed, we need probably five or six more, this decision fusion might become more complicated. Okay, so the data that we are using is the data from Essence. So we are using about 2 years of data, I think a little less. For the training, so the training of those parameters of the SVM, we are using the data for 180 days, and this is normal data. By normal data, I mean data with no outbreaks. So basically what we did, we removed from the data set anything that looked suspicious. There was a big peak. Well, we removed this from our data set. One of the things we did, we removed all the flu season weeks, for example, because we need to be sure that it is normal. And then the next thing we perform is testing. The training and the testing data sets need to be separate. You cannot mix them up. You cannot really use one big data set, you know, adjust your parameters and then show your results on the same data set. You would get usually really good results. But then once you get a new data set, well, it does not generalize. So it's important to keep them separate. We have some. So here we have another 132 days from Essence with no outbreaks to do the testing on. And we have also simulated outbreaks. So we have tularemia, we have three sets of hepatitis A, and they differ by the epi curve and the amplitude. And we have also one real problem. And a real problem doesn't mean a real outbreak. Actually, what we had in the data, and my SVMs keep to show this to me all the time, there was one day, I don't remember which year it was, but I think 2006 or so, in which actually the certain hospitals who are reporting to Essence reported twice. So this is an anomaly for sure. Okay, so let's talk about those data streams. We have in Essence 11 syndromes, so both like fever, GI, and so on, and we have 148 subsyndromes, like here. But each of the data of the time series can be total counts, or could be counts, so total counts like this one, this is fever all, or counts maybe only for male or only for female. We can, and also we have different ages, so different age groups, and this is an example of age group 0 to 4, and we have also different counties. So this gives us 3021, no matter how you count, it's this large number of time series. So now, here this is some univariate EWMA results. These are the total counts, and the red ones are the EWMA alarms, how many of them we have per day, and you see that we have a large number. On the normal data sets, it's around 28, and here what we are doing is just showing that if we only set the alerts at one sigma or more, of course we have much less alerts. It makes much more sense to do that. Okay, and now let's, what I'm doing is comparing the EWMA results, polling the univariate EWMAs with the initial SVM results. And the SVM results are initial because we are not finished yet. So basically, this is an ROC curve, receiver operating characteristic. And those 4 points here are the different points from the polling univariate EWMA. So it means we are changing the threshold. When the threshold is 53, meaning 53 alarms per day, we have a pretty high specificity, 94, sensitivity 29. The magenta point here is for this one sigma, specificity around 91, sensitivity around 42, and so on. And the blue point finally has specificity only around 69, but it's pretty high, 54.8 sensitivity. And the yellow point here is the SVM result. So you see that we can compare this SVM with this EWMA. They have a very similar specificity, but SVM has much higher sensitivity, around 26%. 2 minutes, oh my God, I won't make it. if we compare those two results, they have very similar sensitivity, but SVM has specificity higher. And these are results per day of outbreak, meaning if our outbreak has 5 days, if we detected two, we get only 40%. If we look at the results, as some people are also looking, per outbreak, meaning I had a 5-day outbreak, even 1 day was detected, it's 100%. Then for EWMA, we have specificity around 94, sensitivity 80, and SVM 94.7 and 100% sensitivity. Okay, and this shows a little bit more of, you have here the curve with all the counts, magenta are EWMA alerts, yellow are SVM, and you see here EWMA inject detection, this is what it detects, this is what SVM detects. If you look here a little closer, you see that EWMA, which is magenta, detected 2 days, SVM detected 4 days. Well, there was an inject also on this day, no method detected, and also on this day, and no method detected. This is the false alarm on this small data set. It is 5 for EWMA and 1 for SVM. Okay, timeliness of detection, the colors are the same as on the slide with the ROC curve. For EWMA, specificity 94, it takes about 2.25 days to detect. SVM about 1.67, so it's shorter, and also SVM detects all the outbreaks. This one does not detect two. And this is another EWMA result. Here the average number of days went down, so similar to this one, but specificity went down as well, and one outbreak was not detected. So basically, SVM obtains better timeliness of detection, also higher specificity for same sensitivity and higher sensitivity for the same specificity. I have two more slides. So we have designed a new approach for disease outbreak detection. Our initial results are very promising on the data sets that we tried them on, and it compares favorably SVM with EWMA. And future directions, where this is a proof of concept, we have to finish some other SVMs from this big slide. We need also, once we do that, a more sophisticated decision fusion module, and or want to do it, I am sure. And it needs to be tested on many different types of outbreaks. Once you add the simulated outbreaks, you need to add them at a different times, for example. You cannot add them always at the same date, because it could be a date at which it is very easy to detect them or very difficult. And also, we would like in the future test on some real influenza outbreaks. And finally, we need an explanation capability for the SVM. So for the users to be able to drill down and find the reason for an alert.